This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, September 24th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start right down in Baltimore in just an unbelievable on many levels. National Football League game last night, Sunday Night Football, Patriots at the Ravens. The Ravens with a last-second field goal, I think, to win the game. Ravens 31, Patriots 30. And, boy, there was a lot in this game. But a number of things, you know, what the NFL has done with these replacement refs is just unbelievable. I think both of these coaches might get fined, but Belichick definitely will get fined. If you'll recall what happened now, if you saw the game or even saw the highlights, at the end the Ravens rookie field goal kicker lines up to kick a field goal to win the game, and Belichick calls time, or the players on the field call time right when he's about to kick it. They call the time, he does kick it, then he has to line up and kick it again. It's a short field goal of 27 yards. And then he kicks it, and it counts, and they say it's good. It looked to me like it went over the upright, and you know the rules. If it goes over the upright, it is good. But it might have been outside. It certainly wasn't inside. It was either over the upright or a miss. Obviously, that was the difference between victory and defeat. You probably saw Will Fork running down to confront the referee who called it good. Belichick, apparently afterwards, saying he just wanted clarification as to whether or not that was reviewable. And again, if it goes over the upright, for some reason it's not reviewable. How do you determine if it went over the upright if you're not 100% sure? If it went over the upright, you know, you're talking a very narrow space. But in any event, the Ravens win the game 31-30. Belichick composed himself afterwards. He was beside himself on the field. Again, he said he was trying to stop the ref to get clarification as to whether or not the play was reviewable. He did grab the ref. The ref just kind of pushed him off and kept running off the field. It was a very scary game on a number of levels. But I think what you saw yesterday is the Ravens are for real, but I think the Patriots are for real. A lot of people gave the Patriots grief last week because they lost to Arizona. Of course, Arizona turns out to be for real. We'll get to them in a minute. Arizona Cardinals are a very good football team. But what you saw if you watched Miami and the Jets, one of the worst football games I've ever seen, and I watched that whole game, is that the Patriots, even at 1-2, are going to have a cakewalk through the AFC East. And the Ravens are legit as well, but the Ravens can't generate a pass rush. Their feared defense is not the fearsome defense it's been. Ray Lewis is still Ray Lewis. Yes, Ed Reed is still Ed Reed. Yes, they're a little older. Nada in the middle is unbelievable, but they don't have Terrell Suggs, and he was the Defensive Player of the Year last year. Ravens 31, Patriots 30. You know, the numbers on these quarterbacks are video game numbers now. 28 for 39 for Joe Flacco, who's really come a long way. 382 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Ray Rice was Ray Rice. They got away from him early but came back to him. I think that's what won the game because it set up, obviously, Flacco's play action. Rice, 20 rushes for 101 yards and a touchdown. He also had 5 receptions for 49 yards out of the backfield. The story of the night, if you heard it, Torrey Smith, wide receiver Torrey Smith, his younger brother had died Saturday night, Sunday morning in a motorcycle accident. Torrey Smith, after consulting with his family, decided to play in the game. 6 catches for 127 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was the star of the game. Pitta, Flacco's new favorite receiver, the tight end, 5 receptions for 50 yards and a touchdown. Brady, 28 for 41, 335 and a touchdown, no picks. not really much of a rushing attack for the Patriots. Brandon Lloyd, the newest receiver for the Patriots, 9 receptions for 108 yards. You know the background there. McDaniels, Josh McDaniels, who was the Denver coach, had Lloyd in Denver. Josh McDaniels gets fired, comes to back to the Patriots. Lloyd comes with him. Wes Welker may be out of the doghouse, may be getting more time because Aaron Hernandez is hurt. 8 receptions for 142 yards, including a 59-yarder. Gronkowski, a decoy and a blocker much of the day, only 2 receptions for 21 yards. But this was just a bizarre game from an officiating perspective. They showed the replay and a couple of calls that were just weren't pass interference or holding or illegal contact, just bizarre calls. And, of course, these games take forever now because it just takes the refs too many times. Apparently there was too much time to make these calls, to meet, to decide. Yesterday in the Patriots-Raven games, there were 13 first downs via a penalty call, and that's an NFL record. So, again, something has to be done with these officials. I certainly think it's hurt the integrity of the game. But Ravens 31, Patriots 30. Again, Belichick composed himself after the game, said you have to play with what you've got. And he was talking about the officiating. There's not much he can do about it. Certainly behind the scenes, these coaches, even the winning coach, even Harbaugh, has to be going to the NFL and saying, please, we got to have these guys done, the regular refs back. Ravens 31, Patriots 30. I thought that was the most interesting slash. I think the Ravens and the Patriots, obviously, are both going to make the playoffs. And although Houston might be the best team in the AFC, that might be a Ravens-Patriots might be a replay of last year's AFC Championship game. A ton of interesting games yesterday. Not just the Ravens and the Patriots, but the 49ers, who I picked to win the Super Bowl, really did not look very good yesterday against the Vikings. Again, the difference between the way some teams play at home and on the road is just amazing. The Vikings, one of those teams. Yesterday, the Vikings beat the 49ers in Minnesota. Vikings 24, 49ers 13. Vikings up 17-3 at the half. They held Frank Gore to 63 yards. Ponder, 21 for 35, 198 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, this was a shocking upset to me. I understand Minnesota was playing at home, but Vikings 24, 49ers 13, Adrian Peterson, 25 rushes for 86 yards. Percy Harvin, 9 receptions for 89 yards. Vikings moved to 2-1, 49ers dropped to 2-1. 49ers on the road at the Jets. We'll get to the Jets. My goodness, what a terrible game that was. But the Jets did win. 49ers on the road at the Jets next week. Vikings on the road at the Lions. What a wacky game that Lions game was. We'll get to that one as well. But San Francisco leaves the ranks of the undefeated. They're now 2-1, as are the Minnesota Vikings. A number of other games to talk about. The Eagles manhandled by the Cardinals. The Eagles, many, you know, supposedly the wise guy Super Bowl pick this year. But the Eagles get hammered by the Cardinals again. The Cardinals are for real. They beat the Patriots in New England. A lot of people thought that was a fluke. The Arizona Cardinals now 3-0. They crushed the Eagles 10-0 after the first quarter, 24-0 after the second. They coast to a 27-6 win over the Eagles. And Kevin Cobb, who had lost his starting job to Skelton, but Skelton obviously got hurt. Cobb had another good game yesterday, 17 for 24, 222 yards, 2 TDs, no picks. Michael Vick got hit 15 times, running for his life much of the game, 17 for 37, 217 yards. But the Eagles, they're 2-1 after winning 2 1-point games. They get hammered by the Cardinals, and it doesn't look like they can go with the big boys. McCoy, 13 rushes, 70 yards for the Eagles. but they really didn't generate any offense. Larry Fitzgerald, after being non-existent the first two games for Arizona, 9 receptions for 114 yards, including a 37-yard touchdown pass. Last play of the first half, looks like Philly's going to score. Kerry Rhodes sacks or strips Vic of the ball, 93-yard return for a touchdown right before the half that made it 24-0 and essentially ended the game. But it was more about the Eagles. It doesn't look like Vic can stay healthy the way he plays. He's too small. He's not the Cam Newton type who can take a pounding, or even the Tim Tebow. Not that Tebow's a quarterback, I understand. Cardinals 27, Eagles 6. Another interesting game. Houston goes into Denver to play Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Many people think Houston, the best team in the AFC, and they also hammer the Broncos yesterday 31-25. It was 31-11. Manning, to his credit, leads them back to 31-25, but does not get them over the hump. Matt Schaub, 17 for 30, 290 and 4 TDs. Schaub took a vicious hit. I don't know if you saw the game. He said he was fine after the game, but my goodness, looked like he was knocked out originally when he got hit. But Houston 31, Denver 25, Manning to Stokely, Manning to Dreesen, 31-18, 31-25. But they come up a little short. Houston does look right now as the best team in the AFC. I'll stick with my selection of the Patriots. I think they showed you a lot on the road yesterday despite their loss. But Schaub, again, 290 yards, 4 TDs. Manning, 26 for 52, 323, 2 TDs. Arian Foster, 25 rushes for 105 yards. Walter, 3 receptions for Houston, 73 yards and a touchdown. Decker with 7 receptions and 123 yards for the Broncos. Texans, 3-0. Broncos, 1-2. They're not quite there yet, Denver. You know, they're a team that has a license to get a lot better during the year. But as of right now, they're not there with the elite. A few other interesting games. The Saints at home against Kansas City. You recall the Saints didn't lose a game last year at home. They've already lost one. They opened up a commanding 24-6 lead. But then the roof caves in on New Orleans. Jamaal Charles with a 91-yard touchdown run. 24-13, Stanford Root picks off a breeze pass on the goal line. Eventually they kick a field goal, 24-16, 24-19. Justin Hooten gets a safety, 24-21. And then 4th and 5, Dwayne Bowe gets a first down. Ryan Succop kicks a field goal at the buzzer to tie up the game. In overtime, Ryan Succop kicks another field goal. KC 27, New Orleans 24. You know, this probably puts an end to the Saints season. I know you can't say it's over after 3 games, but for all intents and purposes, this puts an end to the Saints season, in my opinion. The whole bounty gate, which is still unresolved, but on the field, the Saints are now 0-3. Chiefs 27, Saints 24. Drew Brees, 20 for 36, 240 yards and 3 TDs. Castle, 26 for 44, 248 for the Chiefs. Again, Jamaal Charles with a monster game, 33 carries for 233 yards, including that 91-yard TD. Unbelievable. A terrible loss for the New Orleans Saints. Chiefs, first win of the year, they're 1-2, 27. Saints, now 0-3, 24. We'll get to the baseball after the break, and then we'll do some more football. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
every day. Nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to switch to baseball now just to cover essentially the division races and the wild card races. The American League yesterday, the A's take 2 or 3 from the Yankees over the weekend. Yesterday, the A's beat the Yankees, A's 5, Yankees 4. I mean, you got to give the Athletics a lot of credit. The A's up against Ichiro, the hottest hitter in baseball. I mean, his last 7 days, 15 for 29, hitting .517. He had 7 hits in a row at one point. But yesterday, the Athletics get up 3-0. The Yankees go ahead 4-3. Swisher hits a 2-run homer. But the A's come back to beat the Yankees 5-4. Another error by Nunez, who's playing shortstop because Jeter got a day off to be the DH. And Eduardo Nunez, a talented young player, a very good hitter, but he just makes too many errors in the field. The Yankees continue to trot him out there, and yesterday the error that allowed Donaldson to get on base, Donaldson winds up scoring in the sixth inning. That proves to be the winning run. Put the Athletics up 5-4. That was your final score. Blevins gets the win for the Athletics. He's 5-1. Kuroda takes the loss for the Yankees. He's 14-11. Balfour, Graham Balfour, gets his 20th save of the year for the A's as they continue on their playoff push. Athletics 5, Yankees 4. Pennington hit a home run, his 6th of the year for the A's. As I said, Swisher hit a home run, his 22nd for the Yankees. A's 5, Yankees 4. A few other important games. Boston beats the Orioles 2-1. Cody Ross with a big RBI double late. Baltimore has bases loaded. One out, ninth inning, down a run, but they can't score. Boston 2, Baltimore 1. Obviously, Baltimore doesn't pick up any ground on the Yankees. Another big game, White Sox in Los Angeles to play the Angels. White Sox clinging to the lead in the Central. Angels trying to make the playoffs in the West. Angels 4, White Sox 1. Weaver 19-4. Again, I think he's your Cy Young winner in the American League. Floyd takes the loss. He's 10-11. Kendry Morales hits his 22nd home run for the Angels, who get all four in the sixth inning. Pujols with two RBIs to go over the 100 mark. Morales with two RBIs on his home run to go 22-71 for the year. And again, Pujols, after that horrific start, 3-for-4 yesterday with a run scored and two RBIs, 286, 101 RBIs. Not the great Pujols, but my goodness, he's had a good year since then. Again, the Angels trying to fight for that probably wild card playoff start. Weaver, 6 1/3, 5 hits, 1 run earned, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He's 19-4 with a 2.74 ERA. That's a stunning ERA, as we've talked about in the American League. With the White Sox losing, the Tigers with a chance to pick up. They're actually playing the Twins a doubleheader yesterday, and the Twins sweep the Tigers. I mean, what can you say? Twins 10, Tigers 4. In the first game, Twins 2, Tigers 1 in the second game. In the second game, Cabrera drove in the only run of the game, his 133rd RBI of the year. Cabrera with a legitimate shot to win the Triple Crown, which probably won't mean a whole lot to him if the Tigers can't make the playoffs. But Cabrera now tied with Josh Hamilton at home runs with 42, and you probably know this, if you tie for the lead in anything in the Triple Crown race, you're considered a winner. That's what happened with Yastrzemski. I think he tied for the home run lead in 67, and he won the Triple Crown despite only hitting 301. Again, a year later, after the year of the pitcher in 68, they lowered the mound, changed the offense of the game. But Cabrera right now has an 8-point lead in average. He's hitting 331, has, I think, a 10 RBI lead after getting his 133rd. I mean, think of that, 42, 133, and he's hitting 331. So Cabrera with a good shot. The Tigers now with 10 games left. Cabrera with a good shot to win the Triple Crown, which would be a stunning accomplishment. Again, first time in either league since 1967. Want to take a look at the standings now in the American League. The Yankees, 88-64. They maintain that one-game lead over the Orioles since both of them lost. The Orioles do have the first wild card spot, but even that's a little tenuous. They're only one game ahead of the second wild card. Tampa Bay, 83-70, 5.5 behind the Yankees, 3.5 out of a playoff game. Again, Tampa Bay only has 9 games left. They're going to have to go on a winning streak. Boston and Toronto long out of it. The White Sox clinging to that one-game lead. They were fortunate the Tigers lost 2 yesterday. White Sox 81-71. Tigers 80-72. Obviously, both teams with 10 games left. Tigers a game behind the White Sox, six out of the wild card with 10 games left. That's virtually an impossibility. Kansas City, Minnesota, and Cleveland long out of it. In the West, Texas with the best record in the American League, 90-62. They have a four-game lead over the A's, 86-66. The A's right now do have the second wild card. The Angels, 84-69. 6.5 out of Texas in the West, so they can't win that. They only have 8 games to play. 2.5 out of the wild card. They're going to have to go on a real winning streak to get that. Seattle at 72-81, well out of it as well. Again, it's going to be a very interesting week of baseball in both leagues. With the two wild cards now, still a lot of teams in the mix. In the National League, Braves beat the Phillies 2-1. Phillies dropped to one game over 500. We'll get to those standings in a minute. Hudson gets the win, having an excellent year for the Braves. He's 16-6. Cliff Lee having a disastrous year for the Phillies. He's 6-8. Kimbrel gets his 39th save for the Braves. Ross hits his 8th home run for Atlanta. Braves 2, Phillies 1. In another game with playoff implications, the Brewers beat the Nationals. Brewers 6, Nationals 2. Kinsler gets the win. He's 3-0. Mateus takes the loss. He's 5-3. Axford gets his 33rd save for the Brewers. Pirates clinging, but two games under 500, clinging to some kind of hope for a wild card. Hammer the Astros 8-1. A.J. Burnett gets the win. He's 16-8. Still, I think, the comeback player of the year. Lyles, 4-12, takes the loss. Moore hits his 9th home run for Houston. The Cardinals, in the wild card lead, beat the Cubs. Cardinals 6, Cubs 3. Kyle Loesch gets the win. He's 16-3. Germano takes the loss. He's 2-9. Mata with his 40th save. Cosma hits his first home run of the year for St. Louis. Alfonso Soriano, what a year. Chicago, 31 home runs this year. But again, the Cardinals get the win. Diamondbacks clinging to their hopes beat the Rockies 10-7. Albers gets the win. He's 1-1. Belsey takes the loss. J.J. Putz gets his 32nd save. Hill hits his 24th home run for the Diamondbacks. Giants lose to the Padres 6-4, but the Giants have already clinched their division. The Dodgers beat the Reds 5-3. Reds drop to 92-61. Tolleson gets the win. He's 3-1. Bailey takes the loss. He's 12-10. Brandon Leach gets his 5th save of the year. Gonzalez hits his 3rd home run as a member of the Dodgers. Phipps hits his 1st of the year for Cincinnati. Quickly now to the standings in the National League. Washington, again, they've clinched. Washington has clinched a playoff berth. They're 92-60. It's only a matter of time before they clinch their division. They lead Atlanta by 4.5. Atlanta 88-65. Atlanta is 6 games ahead of the second place wild card team, so they're probably locked into a wild card. They only have 9 games left. Philly 77-76, so they also only have 9 games left. They're 5 out of the second wild card. Again, they're pretty much going to have to run the table to have a chance. Mets and Miami out of it. Cincinnati has clinched their division, 92-61. They and Washington, the only teams playing 600 baseball. Washington at 605, Cincinnati at 601. St. Louis can't catch Cincinnati, 82-71, but they are the second wild card. Milwaukee, 79-73, 2.5 games out of the wild card. They've got 10 games left. Pittsburgh 75-77, 6.5 out of the wild card with 10 games left. I don't think they can get there. The Cubs and Houston well out of it. In the West, give the San Francisco Giants a ton of credit. They clinch the NL West 89-64. The Dodgers can only fight for the second wild card berth. They're 79-74, 3 out of a wild card berth. They have 9 games left. They're essentially going to have to run the table. Arizona 77-75, 2 games over 500. Obviously can't win the West. They're 4.5 out of the wild card. Again, with 10 left, they pretty much have to go 9-1, 10-0 to get in the mix. San Diego and Colorado already out of it. That's your baseball. Again, the final week of baseball, very exciting stuff. Still a lot to be decided, whether you like the two wild cards or not. Again, once there's one wild card, to me, there might as well be two. For once, finally, it means something to win your division as opposed to just winning the wild card. So a lot going on in baseball this week, especially down the stretch, especially with these wild card races. Want to get to a couple of non-baseball, non-football things that happened yesterday. The PGA Tour Championship won by Grant Snedeker at 10-under, beating Ryan Moore. Tiger was in the mix for a while, finished tied for 8th. McIlroy was in the mix for a while, but it was Grant Snedeker, 10-under for the tournament. And he not only won the Tour Championship event, which gave him $1.4 million, he also won that FedEx Cup points bonus system. And for winning that, he gets a $10 million check. So yesterday, this is why you want your kids to become golfers, I think. Yesterday, Grant Snedeker won $11.4 million and had a lot of interesting things to say. He lives in the Tennessee area, and he really did have a lot of interesting things to say, but mainly it was, this is more money than I could ever need. I hope to help people in the Nashville area and in the Tennessee area. He had some very gracious comments to make. So good for him. Hopefully he'll do something positive with this money. $11.4 million for winning both the PGA Tour Championship event yesterday and that bonus FedEx Cup that they have. You know, these sports now have to have these extra, I guess it's kind of like the Sprint Cup Series and, you know, the Chase in NASCAR. We'll get to that in a second. But this is, I guess, to increase interest maybe. Certainly it gives these golfers and drivers in NASCAR a chance to make a lot more money during the end of their season. In the Sprint Cup Series up in New Hampshire, Denny Hamlin predicted he would win that race, and he did win the race. Jimmy Johnson finished second. Johnson is now the leader in the Chase Series. You know, that's that 10-race series at the end of the year where 12 drivers are eligible to win even more money in these final 10 races in addition to the money that's given out in the races. So Jimmy Johnson does take over the lead from Brad Keselowski by 1 point. Again, there's 8 more races to go. So it's not something really to be concerned with now, except obviously you want to finish as high as you can every week. So Denny Hamlin gets the win. Johnson in the 48 car is second. Jeff Gordon finishes third. He's in the chase as well. Next week they go to Dover. So again, this is something that you'll follow for the next 8 weeks, 8 races left, to see who's going to win the chase, something that was just another created thing a few years ago to add interest to the end of the season in NASCAR. So Denny Hamlin gets the win, but Johnson takes over the lead in the chase. Grant Snedeker gets the win in the PGA Tour, but not only gets the win, he also wins that bonus FedEx Cup to put $10 million in his pocket. Really a stunning thing. And good for Grant Snedeker for saying he's going to use that money to help others. You know, that's a fantastic, you rarely hear people say that. That's a fantastic attitude to have when you take in $11.4 million in one day. This is the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the rest of the football after this break. We'll be back. This is SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Want to get back to the NFL, a few wacky games yesterday. If you saw the Lions at the Tennessee Titans, one of the the craziest games you'll ever see. The Titans were up late in the game, 41-27. Matt Stafford got hurt. When Werner returned a ball he had ripped out of Pettigrew's hand for a 72-yard touchdown, Stafford got hurt as he was blocked. Sean Hill has to come in, the backup quarterback for Detroit. He hits Calvin Johnson, 41-34. Detroit recovers an onside kick on the last play of regulation. Hill throws a Hail Mary that Titus Young catches on the deflection. You know how they tell you, if you're a defensive back, to bat it down. Well, that ball was batted up in the air. Titus Young was able to catch it and run it in for the score to tie up the game at 41. In overtime, the Titans kick a field goal, but you know the rules now, those new rules. If you kick a field goal on your first possession, the other team gets the ball, and the other team does get the ball, and Detroit is driving, and they have a 4th-and-1, and you got to think in field goal range, you got to think they're going to kick a field goal to tie it, and then, you know, they kick off again, and whoever scores next would win. But so for some reason, Hill tries a quarterback sneak on 4th-and-1, doesn't make it. After the game, Jim Schwartz, the Lions coach, said there was a miscommunication. What they were trying to do, or what they wanted to do, was to try and draw the Titans offside. Obviously, 4th-and-1, if they draw the Titans offside, they get a first down. They can go in and try and score a touchdown or even kick an easier field goal. But Hill tries to go up the middle. He's stopped. There's a measurement. It's short. The game is over. Titans 44, Detroit 41. Now, if you watch like ESPN, Tom Jackson, they said it looked pretty clear that Sean Hill went up to the line, goosed his center, you know, tapped him under the butt to hike the ball quickly. They were the only ones who went. Nobody else on the offensive line moved. So clearly he was trying to make it. Schwartz said that he told them to just try and draw him off sides. Nobody knows where the truth really lies, but what you do know is that the Titans stopped Sean Hill and the Titans win the game. Titans 44, Detroit Lions 41. The Titans now 1-2. The Lions now 1-2. A very wacky game with a very wacky ending. A couple of other crazy games. I watched the whole Jets game at Miami. Miami dismantled Oakland in Miami last week, so you knew this was going to be a close game. The Jets in a terribly played game for both sides. You know, it's funny, you watch the Patriots at night, Patriots are 1-2, and you wonder, you know, is this the year the Patriots are dethroned? But the Jets look terrible, Miami looked terrible, Buffalo's looked a little better since getting hammered by the Jets. But you got to think the Patriots, even at 1-2, are still going to have a cakewalk in the AFC East. But yesterday, the Jets do get the win in overtime, Jets 23, Miami 20. If you believe that the Jets had a chance to make some noise this year, and after watching them play yesterday, it was hard to, you probably don't think they have a chance now. Darrelle Revis with a non-contact injury. Today it's confirmed he tore his ACL. He's going to need surgery. He's going to be out for the season. So despite the fact that the Jets are tied for first at 2-1, you can make a good case that their season is already over. But the Jets get the win yesterday in overtime. Reggie Bush hurt his knee for Miami. Jets 23, Miami 20. Sanchez not very good, 21 for 45, 306 and a touchdown. Tannehill not very good, 16 for 36 for 196 yards. Powell to me showed he's the better rusher than Sean Green for the Jets. Santonio Holmes with a very good game, 9 receptions for 147 yards. The Jets do get the win in overtime. And another interesting thing at the end of that game, if you saw it, Nick Folk is lining up to kick a 33-yard field goal to win the game for the Jets. The Philbin, the new coach from Miami, calls time right before the ball is snapped, and Miami comes in and blocks the field goal. Then, of course, it doesn't count because there was a timeout. And then Folk lines up the 33-yarder and kicks it true to win the game, Jets 23, Miami 20. You would have thought by now the NFL would have done some rule with that last-second call a timeout. But it doesn't matter because sometimes it backfires, as it did yesterday for Miami. Jets 23, Miami 20. Jets go to 2-1, tied for first with the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. Miami goes to 1-2, tied with the New England Patriots at 1-2. But again, it appears to me after watching the Patriots play the Ravens last night that they're still going to walk home in the AFC East. A few other games to take a look at. The Falcons manhandle the Chargers in San Diego. Falcons are for real. They're 3-0. They're leading 20-0 at the half. They win 27-3. Matt Ryan, 30 for 40, 275 yards and 3 TDs. Rivers, 21 for 38 for 173 and no TDs. Turner for Atlanta, 14 rushes for 80 yards and a TD. The ageless one, Tony Gonzalez, 9 receptions for 91 yards and a TD. Falcons dominate the Chargers 27-3. Falcons 3-0. Chargers 2-1. The Steelers is another wacky game. The Steelers and the Raiders. The Raiders are much better in team at home. They beat the Steelers 34-31. Roethlisberger has a career day, 36 for 49, 384 and 4 TDs, but it's not enough. Carson Palmer 24 for 34, 209 and 3 TDs. McFadden has an unbelievable game for Oakland, 18 for 113 and a touchdown. Raiders get the win late, outscore the Steelers 13-0 in the fourth quarter. Raiders 34, the Steelers 31. Both teams are now 1-2. The Raiders are a much better home team than an away team. They got hammered in Miami last week. They could have won opening day, but they lost their long snapper, and that led to like three turnovers. But the Raiders do beat the Steelers 34-31. Cowboys at home, their home opener, they beat the Buccaneers 16-10. You know, everybody was waiting in that game to see what would happen at the end of the game. You know, that whole thing with the Greg Schiano, the new coach, with his jumping the Giants on the last play of the game, trying to get the ball when the Giants were just trying to kneel down. Well, the same thing happened yesterday. Dallas got a big punt return from Dez Bryant, led to a field goal that made the game 16-7, but then Tampa Bay kicks a field goal late. Greg Schiano obviously used to be the coach of Rutgers. Tampa Bay kicks a field goal to make it 16-10, and then Dallas has control of the ball and the clock, and they're going to take three knees to end the game, and Tampa Bay tried to bury their offensive lineman and their quarterback on all three plays. But once you snap the ball to Tony Romo, he takes a step back and takes a knee. You know, supposedly that play caused four fumbles in 5 years in college. I don't think it's going to cause any fumbles in the NFL. But clearly Greg Schiano is going to do it his way. Again, you know, it's technically legal. A lot of people think it's a dirty play. I certainly think it's a Bush League play. They did try it three times yesterday. It failed three times. Again, you just hope nobody on either side gets hurt. Dallas 16, Tampa Bay 10, Dallas 2-1, Tampa Bay 1-2. Another last-second victory or last-minute victory. The Colts drive down the field. Adam Vinatieri, as he's done so many times in his career, kicks a late field goal to put the Colts up 17-16. But then in the final 30 seconds, Gabrick throws a game-winning touchdown pass, 80 yards, Jaguars 22, Colts 17. Got to give the Jaguars credit. Gabrick hit Cecil Shorts over the middle on a slant. He ran it the rest of the way for an 80-yard TD with under a minute left. Jags 22, Colts 17. Andrew Luck, 22 for 46, 313 yards and two TDs. Gabbert, 10 for 21 with 155 yards and the game-winning TD, which means, of course, he had, you know, 75 yards before the game-winning play. But Jaguars get the win. I don't think either of these teams are going anywhere. They're both now 1-2. The Bears beat the Rams. Bears 23, Rams 6 in Chicago. Bradford 18 for 35 for 152 for the Rams. Cutler 17 for 31 for 183. Bush for Chicago, 18 rushes for 55 yards and a TD. Marshall 5 receptions for 71 yards. Bears win a defensive battle. They score 13 in the fourth. It's 10-6 after 3. Bears now 2-1. The Rams 1-2. Also, the Bengals beat the Redskins 38-31. Dalton 19 for 27, 328 yards, 3 TDs, 1 pick, which was returned for a touchdown. RG3, 21 for 34, 221 yards, and a touchdown. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, 17 rushes for 38 yards and a touchdown, but he also lost his, he fumbled for the first time in his NFL career. I think he has over 500 carries. He never fumbled when he was on the Patriots. He did yesterday. Griffin III, the leading rusher for the Redskins. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. 12 rushes for 85 yards and a touchdown. Dalton had tried a swing pass early in the game from his own end zone, but Rob Jackson actually intercepted it in the end zone for a touchdown. But Cincinnati gets the win, Cincinnati 38, Washington 31, Cincinnati 2-1, the Redskins 1-2. Now the Redskins, you know, RG3 is exciting. They're a better team this year. Don't forget they beat the Super Bowl Giants twice last year. But it remains to be seen how well they're going to do. They're in a very tough division with the Giants and the Cowboys. And now apparently the up-and-down Eagles. Let's go to the standings. Yes, it's early, but you already see some patterns. Specifically in the AFC, the only undefeated team is Houston. And, you know, this is why standings can be misleading. AFC East, Jets and Bills are 2-1. Patriots and Dolphins are 1-2. But, again, after the watching the Jets play the Dolphins, you have to like the Patriots. They played Baltimore very tough and easily could have won that game on a number of levels, you know, calls, et cetera. They had chances to make picks at the end of the game where they just literally couldn't catch the ball. But give the Ravens credit. They win it. In the AFC North, the Ravens and the Bengals both 2-1. The Steelers 1-2. The Browns 0-3. After last night, the Ravens have to play the Browns on Thursday, but that's probably a team you want to play if you have to play on short rest. The Browns are in for a long season already, 0-3. In the South, as we said, the Texans, the only 3-0 team, and they already have a two-game lead, as Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and Tennessee are all 1-2. It doesn't seem like any team in the AFC South is going to remotely challenge the Texans. In the West, the Chargers are 2-1. They have a one-game lead over Oakland, Denver, and Kansas City. And again, I thought Denver could win and think Denver can win because I think they're going to get better. But that's almost like a 500 division. The Chargers, the Raiders, Denver, Kansas City. Nobody terrible, but in my opinion anyway, no really top team. In the NFC, Cowboys and Giants and Eagles all 2-1. Again, the Giants manhandled Carolina in that Thursday night game. They look to be the best team in that division right now. Dallas and Philly are 2-1. Redskins dropped to 1-2. In the North, the Bears 2-1. The Vikings 2-1. Packers 1-1. They play tonight. Green Bay out in Seattle to play the Seahawks. Seahawks are a pretty good team, especially at home, so that'll be an interesting game. But the Packers right now 1-1, and the Lions 1-2, and you don't want to get down in that division with the Bears and the Packers. And I'll have to say the surprising Vikings after they beat the 49ers. NFC South, Falcons, one of three remaining teams, along with Houston and Arizona, who are 3-0. The Falcons 3-0 and already have a two-game lead in the NFC South. Tampa Bay 1-2, Carolina 1-2, New Orleans 0-3. In the, you know, New Orleans is the story. If you think destroying that coaching staff and suspending some players isn't killing New Orleans, you're grossly mistaken, and you can see it again yesterday as they collapse at home. 8-0 last year at home, 0-2 this year at home. Yesterday they collapse after having a commanding lead over the Kansas City Chiefs. Falcons clearly the class of that division, and that's the way it's shaking out already, is again, they have a two-game lead over Tampa Bay and Carolina and a three-game lead over New Orleans, all of this after only three games. In the NFC West, surprising to me, the Arizona Cardinals 3-0, give them credit. They're not a fluke. They beat the Patriots in Foxborough yesterday. They manhandled the last week. They manhandled the Eagles yesterday. 49 is still my pick to win the Super Bowl. They're 2-1, obviously a game behind Arizona. Seattle 1-1 playing tonight at home. St. Louis Rams 1-2. I don't think they're going anywhere. Those are your NFL standings after 3 weeks. Pending, of course, the game tonight, Packers at Seahawks. Your TV tonight, the main TV, of course, is Green Bay at Seattle. That's the ESPN Monday night game at 8:30. Also, playoff baseball, or baseball, I should say, with playoff implication on the MLB network. Oakland and Texas to play the Rangers. Obviously an important game for the Athletics and to a lesser degree the Texas Rangers. If you get the YES Network, the Yankees in Minnesota to play the Twins. The Yankees appear to have a slight advantage over Baltimore as they go down the stretch. A, the Yankees are up a game. B, they play all sub-500 teams their last 10 games, while Baltimore does have their final three games of the season against Tampa Bay. It remains to be seen whether those games will mean anything or not. Tampa Bay is going to have to get a little hot in order for those games to mean something, but you have to like the Yankees' chances because they do have a favorable schedule. Just want to take a minute here on the refs. I think I'm going to write an article tomorrow. That'll be up at sportstalknetwork.com. When you step back and take an overview of what the NFL has allowed to happen to their game by having these refs, replacement refs, it's really become disgraceful now. Are they horrible, horrible, horrible? Well, at times, yeah, they are horrible. Do the regular refs make mistakes? Absolutely. But this has become consistent across the board. There's just too many delays. There's too many missed calls. There's too many calls that shouldn't be made. It's really affected the playing of the game, and I think you just don't have any sense if you're a player or a coach. You just don't have any sense of what the call is going to be. I mean, you just don't know. So it's really, I think, affected the product on the field. It's not obviously as bad as the replacement players, but it is horrible for the game. And again, I'm not a gambler, but you have to wonder, if you are a gambler, how you could possibly bet these games, because so many of them now are being affected by these calls from the officials. The Gronkowski hold last week against Arizona, a few other calls yesterday. It's just scary because you have no sense of any consistency among these officials. But I'll write an article for SportsTalkNetwork.com tomorrow. We'll talk about that some more. But really, these guys have to get in the room and work something out. It's really hurting the game for the players and the coaches and the fans. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.